31 first, and chapter 31, and then back up to chapter 30 in the book of Isaiah. And we're going to just title this what it says in my Bible, Don't Rely on Egypt. Everybody say, Don't Rely on Egypt. Let me say something about Egypt here that's important. Egypt is a type of the world in Scripture. Pharaoh is a type of the god of this world that holds this entire world captive and enslaved. So when we're talking about an Old Testament historic event where God's people's faith had shifted from the God that brought them up out of Egypt back to the Egypt that they were delivered from. Can I set this up for you in the 31st, 30th chapter? What happened? Israel has been under God's great prosperity. God has blessed them, delivered them, and given them victory after victory in battle, and every one of them was supernatural. Every victory was supernatural. God was the king over them. And God came through every time they called upon him. But they became very rich and very prosperous under his blessing. And in the midst of all of their prosperity, they became self-sufficient. They had accumulated a lot of wealth. You know, God promised he was going to bless them, and he did bless them. But they didn't know how to handle all of that prosperity that made them more dependent on their wealth and their resources than the God who had always been their source and their help. They figured they would not call on him for the supernatural until they were up against some kind of wall that they couldn't squirm out of themselves with their wealth and their ingenuity and their intelligence. That's the problem with the prosperity message today, to be frank with you and label it what as it is that there is a promise of everything that the world can offer you in terms of the material. But it's taken away from a spiritual dependence upon the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless you. He does want to bless you. I believe God wants to help you pay your light bill. He wants to give you a car that will run. I believe he wants to give you nice clothes. I don't believe he wants you to, you know, just go ragged all the time. And your shoes. I remember when I first got saved, I had a pair of cowboy boots when I went to work for Tampa Electric. And I had left Winn-Dixie so I could be in church. There was an interim where we didn't have no money coming in. We sold everything that we could get our hands on. Amen. We would have sold our dogs and cats, but we didn't own any. We sold everything. I had just bought a big 25-inch color TV console in one of those beautiful consoles. Had made the last payment on it. I had worked through my vacation with Winn-Dixie in order to buy the television. Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, how I loved that sucker. Amen. I really did. I loved that thing. And God didn't mind a bit seeing me sacrifice. Can you say amen? Didn't bother God at all when I put that thing. And you know, I got about 25% of what I paid for it and hadn't had it but about 6 months. And I you know, they give me $100 for a $400 TV. Back then, a $400 TV, top of the line, great color, beautiful cabinet. And when we sold everything that we could possibly sell to stay afloat until God came through. And when I got that job with Tampa Electric 5 days a week, amen, I had no boots to go to work in. Couldn't buy any boots to go to work in. And my stepdad gave me an old pair of cowboy boots of his. He was a truck driving. I started to say son of a gun, but I don't know if you can say that in church or not, so I won't say it. But anyway, he's one of those guys. And he gave me that old pair of cowboy boots, and they were good. They were still good. The only thing is, cowboy boots are designed to be in stirrups on a horse or the gas pedal of a big old truck. Amen. They were not designed to go down in a ditch where I was with a shovel with water in it. And it only took about 2 weeks for that water to just rot the threads in those boots, and they begin to flap like that. Well, we had lots of electrical tape out there on that truck at Tampa Electric. So I thought, ain't no problem. Amen. I began to wrap. I took them things off, and they were flapping, and I began to wrap and wrap and wrap, and I might have to change mics because I didn't wear my tie tonight. It's always a problem when you got it up this near my neck. And I wrapped, and I wrapped, and I wrapped one, and I wrapped the other, and I had these two cowboy boots wrapped up with electrical tape. Actually, it didn't look too bad. You know, if you wrap it tight and overlap it, Amen. But there was a guy looking at me, and I felt blessed because I was saved. Yes, yes, sir. That's the best thing we can do with that. I felt blessed because I was saved. I felt like I didn't feel like I was doing without anything once I met Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. When I met the Lord, it just got better and better and better. And I remember walking around with those wrapped up cowboy boots, and a man came to me and he said, is that all the work boots you have? I said, yes, it is. I said, if I get several more paydays and we get caught up, amen. I said, we got the choice of shoes or eating, and I got a family and a baby, and we need to take care of the other things before I take. I said, this is fine. I mean, they were working fine. Amen. They just looked real kooky, but they were working fine. I mean, I looked funky with those wrapped up boots on out there, working for a good company, but wearing those boots. And you know what he said? He said, I have just before I came here to go to work, he said, I was in the United States Army and I got a pair of brand spanking new boots, if they will fit you. And all they're doing is sitting in the back of my closet. They're spit shined. They're actually jump boots. He was in the airborne. And they were made for, I mean, they were really super duper boots. He said, if they will fit you. And I thought, boy, I know them things are going to fit me. If they don't fit me, I'll cut the toes out and tape them up. Can you say? And if they're too big, I'll put stuff in the toes. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you can stuff some stuff down in them toes. Praise God. Amen. And take up that space. But you know something? Isn't it just like the Lord? When he brought me those boots, they fit me perfect. You know how your toes come almost to the end, but not quite the end. You can still wiggle them, but they're not too big and not too much room, so they slip up and down. They laced up. They came up my ankles and laced up, and I wore those combat boots for 2 years. Praise God. Amen. Until I got on a line crew, and I didn't have to buy. I got money I could buy other boots. I just didn't need them. Those were great boots, and the Lord supplied. But back in that day, when I didn't have it, God did supernatural things to supply. He was everything. This is on a personal level, but on a national level of Israel, the same thing happened. They accumulated all these blessings of the Lord. And listen, God warned them when he took them into the promised land and promised to bless them. He said, after all these blessings come upon you, you're going to dig ore out of those hills. Your crops are going to just have bumper crops. You're in a land where I have sent you, and I'm going to bless you in that land. And then there's this big beware. Lest after thou hast eaten and art full, that you say, my hand hath gotten me these things. And you do not give the honor and the glory in essence to your God by obeying him and all that I command you this day. God just doesn't want the tip of our hat in thanks. He wants us to honor him as our source, obey him as our sovereign king. Everybody say, honor him as our source and obey him as our sovereign king. Hallelujah. That's all he's asking. It's not a lot that he's asking. He deserves that place in our hearts and in our life. Amen. As our sovereign king and the supplier of all of our need and our source. Amen. But you know what Israel decided to do? We really don't need to call on God for this. We can handle this. We've got enough money in our treasuries to go down to the king of Egypt, pay him to send mercenary soldiers to come and fight with us in battle. They got soldiers down there that are battle experienced. They know how to get out there and fight. We have them standing with us. We don't have to fear anybody. Now, look at the shift. The shift is from, remember the back in the day when Hezekiah said, we don't know what to do. We have no might or no strength to go out against this great army. But our eyes are where? On you. Can you say amen? Prophet immediately stood up and said, you don't have to fight in this battle. The battle is not yours anymore. The battle is the Lord's. Can you say amen? And God gave them a, say it with me, supernatural victory. Hallelujah. God wants to give us supernatural victories so that he can be glorified. He would like to be distinguished with more than our theology from the rest of the gods that are man-made gods who are no gods. Can you say amen? How many know God would like to be distinguished as the true and living God? Amen. By his people's trust in him and obedience to him.
Praise God. Amen. We serve no... I like what these guys said. Amen. I just like what they said. We recognize... I know they were talking about independence from the king of France or the king of England. But we will serve no God. We will recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. That's not just about politics. That's the theology of the church. Amen. Can you say amen? The true church. Amen. Everybody say the true church. Serves no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But what happens when they went down into Egypt and they relied on the might, the military might of Egypt that their wealth could buy? What happened? Oh, by the way, when we're talking about self-reliance and self-dependence, there's a message out there that says if you just develop your faith will put you over. Your faith. It's the same thing as saying, my hand has gotten me these things. Because if you got it with your faith, where's your God in all this mix? Oh, God honored my faith. Wait just a minute. People are proving their faith by the material possessions that they can show you. They're not proving their faith by their sacrifice. They're not proving their faith, amen, by even laying hands on people to be delivered and set free. Amen. They don't even do that. And we don't even require it of them. They don't show you their faith by preaching the cross and trusting God to supply the need. Can you say amen? They can't show you that kind of faith. They show you the faith by what they've accumulated materially. And the people that are following them are following them for that. They're literally saying, with religious framework, my hand has gotten me these things. Look what my faith has done. Instead of look what my God has done. Can you say, man, how many know the true faith will give God the honor and God the glory for the accomplishment and the victory? Well, listen to the way God dealt with this. And this is why we have to get back to him. That man we talked about this morning, Asa, who saw 300 chariots and 1,000,000 troops supernaturally. Amen. Defeated when they cried upon the Lord and acknowledged we have no might and we have no strength. There's more with us than with them. Amen. And they looked to God and God gave them, a supernatural victory. A supernatural victory. Amen. The church don't know a lot anymore about a supernatural victory. You can be in services and they're great services, they're grand services, but you can't point to one thing in that service that says this was supernatural power of God. You can talk about the eloquence of the preacher, the good theology. You can talk about the message. You can talk about the minister, the ministry. But we're talking about something, some things that only God can do. Can you say amen? Everybody say supernatural again. It seems like all the power has been relegated to the devil and his minions and to the underworld. The power isn't no more relegated unto God. We're going to use our faith to take care of all the needs of our life instead of depend humbly, amen, and totally upon our God. There's another way of saying my hand hath gotten me these things. And it's saying my faith has gotten me these things. Faith never is expressed that way in the scripture. Paul said, don't look at us as if we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves. As full of faith as they were, they said, our sufficiency is not because of a force called faith, but a Father who is our God. In the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and His grace and mercy. Can you say amen? Why look upon us, Peter said, is by our holiness. Or by our anything meritorial or personal about us. They didn't talk about their anointing. They didn't talk about how great they were. Why look upon us that by our power or our faith or our anointing, this man stands before you whole? He don't stand there because of some force within us. He stands there because the man you put on the tree that God raised from the dead, through his name, this man has his sound. The authority is in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And who gets exalted? Peter and John? No, Jesus of Nazareth. His name. I used to preach and still do. We preach his name and we exalt his name and we spread his fame. Praise God. That's what faith is all about. Saying my faith, I don't even understand where people are coming from. But no matter what mountains are ever moved in my life, if I ever wrote a book, it will never say mountain moving faith. Amen. As if faith is a force. That's Star Wars junk. I do not want the force with me when I'm facing the trials and tests of life, my own weaknesses and inabilities and the troubles that can befall anyone in a fallen world in a faulty body. I hate to break this to you, but you're living in a fallen world. It's still under the curse. Can you say? We've been delivered from the curse of the law, but the curse, that original curse, is still here. Otherwise, you wouldn't be aging. Amen. But you are. Hated to break it to you. I know it's tough to deal with. Amen. I know we're packing on the oil of Oli for the men and oil of Ole for the women. Can you say amen? But it's still happening to all of us. Good wrinkle cream is good. But amen, you know why you're putting it on those crow's feet? It's because, amen, that the body is aging. We still live in a fallen world. We still live in a faulty body. But we've got a faultless, faithful Father. Hallelujah. That said, I'm never going to leave you. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. I love him tonight for that. I'm so glad my faith is in my Father. I'm so glad it's not a force that I'm trusting in that is at any given time has to be at its very peak performance for me to ever hope for any kind of deliverance. Amen. Listen to me. My Father is faithful tonight. My God supplies my need tonight. When I needed shoes, he gave me shoes. Praise God, because he loves me and he's a good heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When my old raggedy car broke down, still didn't have any money. Got an estimate on it. My Volkswagen, station wagon, not many of them ever made. I had one, a green one. It belonged to a school teacher. Oh, yes, of course it did. Amen. I was just going to ask how she drives, but I'm not going to. Just being a school teacher don't mean that you don't go down some old bumpy roads and run all over the place and go crazy with a car. But back in the day, it kind of, you know, used car salesmen use that a lot. It's supposed to belong to a school teacher, low mileage, been babied. I got it. I drove it for 3 years. That's how you finance it, 3 years. I paid the 36th payment on that thing. Every month it come due, I saw the light at the end of a tunnel, and I didn't know it was a freight train. Can you say, man, I had no idea a freight train was the light I was looking at. I saw daylight. When we pay this car off, we don't have that payment each month. The car is beautiful. It's running good. I made my last payment, and it wasn't but 2 or 3 days after I made the last payment on that Volkswagen, going down the road, and it sounded like something because the engine was in the rear underneath a flappy thing, and, you know, it's just back under the back end of it somewhere, and all kinds of crazy noises started. Smoke started boiling out. I pulled over the side of the road, and that was it for the Volkswagen. Paid the last payment. Light at the end of the tunnel was what? It was a freight train. Amen. And I'm saying, oh, Lord, right in the middle of a funeral when I needed my vehicle, had to go to work every day at Tampa Electric, had a funeral to take care of, an important funeral in the sense that it was a child that had been lost, a teenager, and I sat on the bank of the phosphate pits and watched them drag until they found his body, had to go tell his mama that he was dead, and then plan the funeral in between working, didn't have time to deal with the car. Amen. That's when the man took me to Brandon to look at a car, amen, and I felt kind of bad about it because I felt like, boy, this is just kind of rubbing salt in a wound. I need a car. He's buying a new car, wants me to take me over there to show me the car he's about to buy, see what I think about it, and I thought, Lord, I'd really rather not do this right now. I got too many other things going on, but he was so insistent, I went with him. Amen. Went in. Amen. When he picked the car, let me pick it. I didn't know I was picking. He said, which one would you get if you was me? That one or that one or that one? I said, I'd take that one right there. It's got 3,700 miles. Wow. That's the car. Low mileage. I had never gotten a car under 70,000 miles since I had been married. 70 was a good deal, brother. Amen. I can get a whole lot of mileage out of this bad boy. 3,700 was beyond my wildest dreams, hopes, or expectations. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, my tires were Maypops. Everybody else had Goodyear, Firestone, Michelin. I had Maypops. You know what Maypops are? It's not a brand name. It means they're totally slick. And one may pop at any given time. And I mean, when they went flat, they didn't just go flat. You heard a pow. And that was it. You pull over and that's it. And then you go get your Maypop spare. Because the spare was worse than anything on the ground. You know what I'm saying? And then you pray that you can make it home and empty that coin thing or whatever and try to get enough money to go down to a used tire place and pick you up one that's got, you know, just a little bit of tread left on it for $10. And then you can go again. Amen. I'm going to tell you, those were lean days, but they were days of faith. They were days of God's provision. There were days when the Lord supernaturally supplied. People do not buy you automobiles, amen, and just give them to you when you are not a celebrity preacher. When you're just a little guy like me, if your name is Oral, that can happen. Amen. If your name is Billy, it may happen. If your name is Jimmy Swaggart, somebody, a car dealer, gave him a brand new Lincoln Town Car to drive, like a lease vehicle. You drive it, you know, all you want to for free, but not Robert A. Venable, because nobody knows who I am. Amen. But God did it. And when the guy signed that bill of sale and asked me to come sign it because he had paid cash for it, I didn't even know that anybody had the cash to pay for a car. I didn't run in circles like that. Amen? And when he wrote that check, and I came home in a car with 3,700 miles, took care of God's business, put the Lord first in my life, God came through, I can't credit my faith. I had to credit my Father. Everybody say his Father. All God wanted Israel to do is give him credit for him bringing them out of Egypt, him sustaining them, him defending them by not trying to do things on their own without acknowledging him. Amen? So I'm going to read verse 31 of Isaiah real quick, and we're going to hurry through this. Woe unto them, chapter 31 of Isaiah, woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither do they seek the Lord. Self-sufficiency is a sin of such magnitude that when we move into it, God will back off. He'll literally back off and said, if you're going to handle it, you handle it. And I really believe what America has done is trusted in our ingenuity, our intelligence, our military might, instead of our God. We've trusted in our wealth instead of the blessing of the Lord. We're not concerned about his blessing because we got the money. Well, we don't got the money anymore. We're borrowing money from China. That's how broke we are. Amen. And if they don't loan it to us because they don't think we're a good risk, we're in trouble. Have you seen the commercial where this guy is so comical, yet it's so like what's happening right now? This guy has got this beautiful home. He's got a pool. He's got one of them fancy barbecue things. Amen? With no rust on it. Anyone without rust is fancy, as far as I'm concerned. Amen. Doesn't look like Doug's and mine. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That thing's seen a lot of action, hasn't it? Hot dogs and hamburgers and ribs. Amen. But he has all this stuff. There's a great SUV sitting here. There's a swimming pool right there with a lanai over it. Amen. There's this great house. There's this all of this stuff. He said, that's my car. That's my house. He said, that's my pool. He said, I own all of this. And then he looks at the camera and says, and I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. Can you say amen? You know what the United States of America is right now? We're in debt up to our eyeballs. They can't see it being paid 20 years down the road. We're in serious debt. Trillions of dollars into a deficit. And thinking somehow we can spend our way out of the troubles that we have economically. The economic stimulus, Did you know some of the jobs, I don't want to get political now, but it just gets crazy. You know some of the jobs out there, it cost them to create the jobs. It cost them, I forget, there was a number. It blew me away. I mean, you know, $500,000 to create one job. So they spend $500,000 to create a job. That's stimulus? I don't think so. Just divide up the $500,000. Give us all $100,000. I mean, you know, I don't want that, but you know what I'm saying. It just gets crazy because we're trying to fix something that only God can truly fix. This nation didn't prosper because of our ingenuity, our intelligence, our abilities that outshined everybody else. There's one reason. It's right there on the coin in your pocket. In God, we trust. That's what made America great. That's what brought the blessings upon us. And the moment we get into such a prosperous state, we don't need him anymore. We look to others for help. We go down into Egypt. Egypt is the type of the world. We need to get back under God's blessing, nationally and personally. And we need to get back to making God our source. And we need to get God back in the church. You say, Brother Bible, he's there every time we gather. I'm not talking about him being there. I'm talking about him showing up and showing out. I'm talking about the manifest presence of God. I'm talking about something happening in the midst of that whole shebang that says God is in this room. Not just a great preacher and a great praise team and a great presentation, but God has set a captive free. God has done something supernatural. God, if we don't get the supernatural back, we're praying prayers that are meaningless. Amen. Without the supernatural, whatever your problems you are facing, you're on your own. If you're dependent on Egypt, oh, by the way, you can't open the Bible and read some scriptures and then turn on to see what Dr. Phil has to say and see what Oprah's talking about today to get your life together. You can't blend Egypt with a sovereign God that has a covenant with a particular, peculiar people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It won't mix. You can't go down into Egypt and ask God to come through for what Egypt can't do for you. He won't do it. You can't build a hospital and have all Christian doctors filled with faith and do any better than Tampa General St. Joseph. Oral tried it. It didn't work. You can't mix it. You can't mix it. I know a lot of people don't want to hear it, but I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. I'm here to tell you what reality is. Amen. You can't mix it. Ask Oral. He'll tell you it didn't work. A 50-foot Jesus did not tell him to do it. He missed God like you can miss God and I can miss God. There's nobody that close that they can't miss it. If people would just question themselves and question anybody that gets off of this word, we wouldn't have the mess that the church is in today, or the error, or the deception. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I have to account to what is written in that book. You've got to account to what is written into that book. We don't need teachers to tell us what we want to hear. We need somebody to tell us what God has said in his word. And God has said in his word that you can't blend Egypt with a covenant God and expect to have victory. Great insurance policies. We look to the doctor for everything. Asa saw 1 million men and 3 million chariots defeated because they admitted they had no strength and made God their source. But Asa got diseased in his feet, and the Bible said he died before his time. Slept with his fathers because he sought the physicians and not the Lord. Is this an indictment against medical? No, it is not. But a Christian should never depend on your Blue Cross Blue Shield instead of your shield of faith. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? What happens when that great grand doctor comes out shaking his head and said, I've done all that I can do. Then, as a last resort, we're going to go back to God and try to get Him to show up and do something. God does not want to be a last resort God. He doesn't want to be the one that when all else fails and all of our ingenuity and all that we can do fails, we turn around and try to get a rusty old faith that is inoperable to operate in a God who has no relevance as long as we can do it ourselves. You can't buy victories that can only come through God if you're a covenant people. You can't go down into Egypt and hire mercenary soldiers to give you victories. Because not only is God not going to fight for us, He will actually fight against us. Amen. Thank you for the... Let's read it. When I get those looks, I know I've got to give you scripture. Now he says, I love you and I'm not going to quit loving you. I'm persistent. I will help you when you turn back to me. But he says, it's going to take a breaking. You're going to have to be broken through defeat to humbly come back to me. So I'm going to see to it that you're broken very well. That's what he's going to let happen in Israel. You're going to go out there with that army, and you're going to get whipped. You're going to get whipped bad. Instead of one of you chasing 1,000, one of them is going to chase 1,000 of you. It's going to turn around. Remember when they went up against Ai and disobedience was in the camp? What happened? Did they just use their faith and override the sin issue and the being right with God issue, like it's implied today? If you just build your faith, what's going to happen if a doctor comes out shaking his head and say, "I can do no more"? Then are we going to try to go and get God that we have not acknowledged yet? We're going to try to pull Him out of the closet, out of the corner, and make Him responsible while we're irresponsible spiritually? I want to see victories. I don't want to see... I hate to pray for people that I go to a hospital, and I've done this many times. Go to a hospital and someone has a tremendous need for God's supernatural deliverance, and they're not like Peggy who's saying, "I believe, I'm in agreement." They're saying... I'd say, "Would you like prayer?" And they'd say, "Go ahead, it couldn't hurt." In other words, why not? Amen. I mean, I might have was to be a witch doctor, amen, with a monkey paw in my hand and some kind of, some kind of, I don't know, paraphernalia, and go in and say, "Woo, woo, 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 woo. Would you like me to, I've seen a lot of victories this way. Would you like me to do this? Woo, 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 woo. Go ahead, it couldn't hurt." In other words, whatever you want to do, I just throw it out there as if... No, we're a covenant people. We have a God who has identified Himself to us as our Heavenly Father. We have a God who's taken personal responsibility for us. We have a God who said, "Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." We have a God that wants to work to distinguish Himself from all of the world religions and the gods who are no gods. And He wants to be distinguished by moving in behalf of His covenant people. What's the preacher today that has resisted and rejected the Holy Ghost? He's teaching scripture, but it's dead. It's dead. There's no power, nothing that can be attributed to the supernatural God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nothing. The audience sits there and listens like a bunch of scholastic exercise at school. They're just students and they're listening. But where's God? When does God show up? You can't on one hand talk about God taking care of everything and on the other hand resist the very spirit that mediates His presence. Can you say amen? This is not emotionalism. I want you to know that. There are emotional Pentecostals that's brought a reproach that's just got emotional and it wasn't the Spirit. But I want you to know this is not emotionalism. Amen. God has been a powerful, mighty God throughout the history of His relationship with His covenant people. When they cried unto Him, He delivered them. Can you say amen? And His deliverance was supernatural until the people round about that nation said, "Who has a God like their God, a God so nigh them?" in all that they call upon him for. Who can fight against them and prevail? There's a shout of a king among them, but he's not an earthly king. Amen. He doesn't wear a crown and sit on a throne, and he doesn't wear great robes. He's a God who is a spirit, but he's their leader, their deliverer. We've got Pentecostal churches, that's just it. We have a heritage and a name, but the choir is good. The preacher has a PhD. Amen. Everything goes off beautifully. There's a high impact service, but not one thing that happens can be attributed to the supernatural. Not one thing. And we don't miss it because we're self-sufficient. We got a counseling staff. If you're all messed up in your mind, there's somebody that graduated with a degree in psychology, and you can take that little test that everybody's going to get so they can evaluate you and find out what in the world is going wrong inside that gourd of yours. Can you say amen? Amen. And they got a little faith in God and a whole lot of the world's solutions. Are you against Christian psychology? Let me tell you something. It's kind of a contradiction. Christian psychology. Amen. Well, what's it going to be? You know, after a while, you got to say, what's it going to be? Is this guy going to straighten me out? I remember when my wife was going through a nerve thing, I was going through a nerve thing. The first thing the Christian psychologist wanted to know is, your dad must have abused you when you were a child. No, my dad did not abuse me. Amen. Listen, I'm in a battle with the enemy of my soul. I'm in the battle with supernatural forces. Don't try to take me back down some road that don't fit, because that's the only thing you know to do. You must have been screwed up when you were a kid. No, I wasn't screwed up. This is a battle with the devil. Don't you know anything about God? Don't you know anything about spiritual warfare? Can't you tell me something about the real enemy that I'm fighting? No! I went for counseling in one of the largest Pentecostal churches at that time in Central Florida. I said, I'm in the multitude of counsel, there's strength. I'm going. I asked if I could come, not being a member of that big church. And the guy told me, yes, I'll see you because you're a minister. I fell to my knees on the floor crying that someone had just been kind, considerate, and compassionate. I literally fell to my knees and wept that somebody would talk to me about my issues, my problems. That's why I know so much about my Father. And I found out, amen, I got over there and the guy had an office. Oh, it was huge and it was nice. The church was running 10,000 people. He said, I've got people that have been waiting 6 or 8 weeks for an opportunity to come in here, letting me know that I was very special and honored that he would let me through the doorway. And he evidently wasn't in a big hurry to expedite people so he could get those people in there because he began to tell me about his... That's back when Freedom Phones, remember the first came out where you could press a button and walk around your desk? I mean, it was a big deal to him. He began to tell me about how he said, you know, I can press that button right there. I'm in there for help. And he's telling me about all the amenities he has in his counseling office. He said, you know, I can walk around my desk and I can just push that button and I can just talk and walk around. I don't have to be sitting at my desk. I thought his office, his desk, his position. Wow. I came here hurting, broken, fighting for my spiritual life, literally. And the only thing the guy can talk about is that. And then I thought, well, you know, tell me something from God. Do you have anything from the Lord? Is there any script? He didn't give me a scripture. So I began to talk to him. I said, well, maybe if I took some time off. He said, you know, that might be a good idea. And then he talked to me about, if you're not going to be preaching, why don't you get a degree in counseling? And then you might be able to get a job with the church giving counsel. Okay, I'll be defeated. I will not find a solution to my problem. I will let the devil shove me out of pulpit and out of ministry. Amen. But I'll counsel others about how to walk in victory. Okay, sounds like a plan. And so I left the counselor Because he's got a degree. He's on staff. He can straighten you out. Where's God? I needed somebody. I had to travel all the way to Atlanta, Georgia, to hear from God. And I heard something that was quickened by the Spirit that I could preach. It was so simplistic. But I heard about a God who could do it. A God who could solve this thing. Praise God. And I heard a word anointed that took root in my heart. Hallelujah. And it done more than you could have given me 100 scriptures. But something about preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. There's something about that anointing that comes to preach the gospel, not just hold a classroom setting, but to declare with the authority of the Holy Ghost anointing what the Lord has said in His Word. It's different when it comes that way. It did not come in word only. As important as the Word is, God didn't send it in word only. Can you say amen? As true as the Word is, God didn't send it in word only. This gospel, the Scripture declared, did not come in word only. It came in the Holy Ghost. It came in power. And it came, because of that, in much assurance. We felt like we were hearing from God. Not just hearing the Bible explained. There's a difference when God speaks to you from this Word. That word on the page is logos. It's the written word and it is the truth. But that word brought forth by the Holy Spirit to your heart is rhema. It has revelation and power. Flesh and blood does not reveal Jesus, but my Father only. And He does it by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got into Atlanta, Georgia, and a man was preaching, "Nothing's impossible with God." Most simplistic message you'd ever hear in your life. I knew that by heart, preached it 100 times, maybe 1,000. But when it came forth under the anointing, it grabbed my heart. I'm going to pull you through this. You can make it through this. And what a fight I had. Amen. Got to Atlanta and couldn't get help from God's people. And there's other things I could tell you, but I can't tell you in this setting. But there's other things I could tell you about what we were exposed to and broke my wife's heart, almost broke her faith. If she didn't know Jesus personally, she would have never went to another Christian counselor as long as she lived. Amen. Listen to me. We were hurt by the counseling we got that was supposed to be so good for God's people. That's when I go in a Christian bookstore and I look at all of these books and I say, my goodness, isn't it wonderful that every problem I could ever conceive of, there's a 13-step pattern right here. And if I just do what they tell me to do, I'm going to be fine. And some of them have some good principles in it. But there's no substitute for you and God having a relationship by which you can call on Him and He can answer you. Can you say amen? Call upon me. Call upon me. That's all He's asking tonight for the church to get back to God. Hallelujah. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will deliver you. If He's going to do it, we don't need the rest of this crowd out here. We need to get back to Him. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise tonight. I love the way John Greenaway, before he went into missions and went overseas, I love that I was at a conference in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. John was white-headed, and John had been years in mission work overseas. And I remember him telling, when he was preaching, pastoring a church for a little while before he went into missions, that two people were having severe marital problems. And there, of course, was no staff, and no one had the books and tapes and principles. They had to do it the old way. Hallelujah. You know, you'll find out what the real problem is if you ever do it the old way. Amen. So John and Linda, I'm using fictitious names because I don't remember their names. John and Linda were really came to an impasse and they couldn't. They had that end time marriage, that prophetic marriage, wars and rumors of wars. And they couldn't seem to resolve their issues. So they came to John and said, "John, she won't blah, blah, blah." And then he said, "But he," and she said, "But he won't blah, blah, blah." And he's standing there in the middle. He said, John, I know that you know Christ is your Savior. And nothing's impossible with God. And Linda, I know that you know that Christ is your Savior. You know what He can do in your life. And John, I want you to get down right here and talk to Him about your issues. What? Can you imagine telling somebody today to get down on their knees and really do business with God? Honey, we want somebody to take care of it for us. Somebody to resolve it for us. Honey, if you can't talk to God, what in the world is somebody going to do for you? If we've drifted so far we can't even talk to God anymore and can't even believe that He's big enough to do anything about what we're facing, what in the world can we tell people? So He put John here and He put Linda there. And He said, don't you get up from there until God talks back to you. He said after about an hour, first they didn't know, it was real silent. Then there was this mumbling. And you know what the mumbling was, don't you? John was telling on Linda. Linda was telling God on John. If you just straighten him out, I'd be fine. If you just straighten her out, I'd be all right. You know, it's going back and forth, back and forth. It's always somebody's fault. Amen. But after a while, they got to praying. Lord, we need help. The enemy's trying to put a wedge between us. Our marriage is in trouble. Satan wants to win this. We know that that's not your will. Whatever it takes, Lord, I bow before you. No sovereign but God. No king but Jesus. When He's the king of your flesh, hallelujah, mighty things can happen. He said it was amazing. He sat there and just prayed, not down by them, but just sat in the chair and came into spiritual agreement. He said they looked up at the same time and they looked over at each other. And this is how they met. So they were so humbled by then, they didn't even get off their knees. They walked on their knees over to each other and embraced one another. And God took care of it. God used to take care of things when people knew how to seek Him. Can you say amen? But when we substitute our ingenuity, our intelligence, even our biblical knowledge for the power that only He can grant, the anointing no longer breaks the yoke or our hearts. Can you say amen? We're still trying to use our intelligence, our ingenuity. And what God wanted from Israel was, listen, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. But we will what? We will trust in the name of the Lord our God. How was that giant defeated? Amen. Amen. I don't come to you with sword and spear, but in the name of the Lord God of Israel. What gave God such a renown among the nations when He could answer His people supernaturally? If we don't get that back, we're going to be, for all practical purposes, as hopeless and helpless as that fallen world. Dependent on Egypt for everything. And the only time God becomes very relevant is when everything else fails. And then we try to put God in there somewhere. And God is not going to take the tail end of anything. Can you say amen? I said God is not going to take the tail end of anything. What would you do if a giant defied you tonight? What would I do if a giant defies us? Are we slaying lions and bears? Are we becoming spiritually experienced enough to know that we can get a hold of God in the time of trouble? No wonder it took Israel's defeat, pain, heartache, and heartbreak. God said, though I can't bless you, and though I'm going to have to let this thing run its course, I love you. And when you come back, I'm going to receive you, and I'm going to be a God to you again. Isn't that good of the Lord? But honey, what I'm trying to tell you tonight is we don't have to go through that process. that terrible defeat. There's victory in Jesus. Let me hurry. Did I lay my... I did. Well, the service is almost over if I hadn't found these. I see why nobody said, there they are, there they are. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horse is flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helped shall fall, both Israel and Egypt, they shall fall down, and they shall all fail together. Can you say amen? You're going to fail, and them that trying to help you is going to fail, because you're covenant people. You can't pull God out of a hat when all else fails. God's got to be first. He will not take up the tail end of Israel's national life. And when everything goes crazy, then suddenly, it's like 9/11. They tried to pull God out of the hat because we're in trouble. We don't know where they're going to hit next. And suddenly, there's a prayer in a place that isn't praying right now. Right in the highest echelons of government, a man is coming to pray. An old guy. Amen. Billy Graham is asked to come and pray. You know what his standard prayer was in the time of trouble? His standard prayer was the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is comforting. One of the most used prayer for comfort in all of the scriptures all over the world is Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. But you know what psalm he chose? Psalm 46, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Can you say amen? And then after 9/11 is passed and the threat has become downplayed and business as usual is going on in self-sufficient America, do you know people even went to church for a little while, but they didn't get saved and they didn't make God their source? They were just covering their donkeys. Can you say amen? You know what donkeys are, don't you, in biblical? Amen? 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 Wasn't it? You know why? Because after the threat was over, what did they do? They went right back. I got a Bible that said when Jesus forgave a man out of mercy and grace, he said, go and sin no more, lest what happened? Lest what happened? Lest what happened? A worse thing come upon you. I don't believe revival is some option that we can take or leave. I believe it's critical, imperative. What happens? This nation is going to affect everybody sitting in church everywhere. And that breakthrough of giving us more stuff to make us more independent from him, I got a news flash for you. Amen. With all of that preaching going on and all those promises made, we're in the worst shape we've ever been. But nobody will question the preachers because we're holding out saying, yeah, it's about here. It's been about here for 10 years. Every year was the year of breakthrough. Did you notice that? Every single year. It just hasn't happened. Amen? I had a guy, he had a beautiful truck. He used to come to church. He had a beautiful truck. Oh, it was so lovely. But he was believing God for a bigger, better truck. I'd have been happy with the truck he had. I started asking him, when God gives you the bigger, better, what you going to do with that old thing? But I didn't want to rub it in. Amen. Listen, because he had his confession out there and he had his faith out there. Listen, we need to be believing God. This is no time to go after gold and apparel right now. God wants to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. But what are our needs and our wants is two different things. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to see souls saved. I want to see revival in America. I want to see preachers get in touch with God again. I want to see the counseling staff reduced and the altars used again in church. All they are is ornaments. Can you say, man, they're just ornamental. Nobody solves problems by getting in altars. Couples don't get in altars. If they have problems, they want a book or a tape. They don't want to kneel before God. They've lost contact with God, the source of power and deliverance. Christian divorce now has the infamous reputation for rising to the same degree as the world. In other words, vows are not sacred and Christians can't find solution. Amen. That's the statistical truth. Just a few years ago when I got saved, and I know I look old, but I'm not that old. Just a few years ago, we had them. We could show the world something. We said, if you want to see what God can do, take a look at our families. Take a look at our lives. Look at our marriages. We'll show you what God can do. And the world looked at us and saw that if two people know God and commit themselves to Him, He's going to defend them. But if two people aren't committed, all it takes is one to break that thing. And all it takes is one for the devil to use. This is not just in the pew either. This is in the highest leadership positions of the church. And it don't seem to matter that we're losing ground and not walking in victory as long as we're promised money and blessing. I want more than money and blessing. I want a marriage that weathers the storm. You didn't hear me. We just can't be an example to the flock. But we can show preach to it. Amen? My marriage is more important to me, particularly now. I'm not bragging. Our marriage has been under stress. You live in a fishbowl for 37 years where everybody judges you and your wife, every word, every gesture, everything you say. 37 years of people picking at us. And they'll never quit. It goes with the territory. Amen. You're going to get picked at if you're a pastor. You're really going to get picked at if you're one of them kind that lady said I was. Pentecostal pastor. That prays in power. Amen. Devil sure enough don't like me. Amen. Oh, I got a news flash for you. You got the Holy Ghost. He don't like you either. Amen. But he can just lump it because God loves us. And he wants to bless us. He wants to distinguish himself among the gods who are no gods. We're in such a crucial time. We need God to stretch forth his hand to heal and that signs and wonders be done by the name of his holy child, Jesus. The gospel and the faith is threatened today. It's not just our skins that are threatened. Our faith is being threatened today. And we need, amen, God to show up in the services. God to show out in our lives. Hallelujah. And God wants to do it. But we're going to have to get rid of our independence and get super dependent on Him. Let's close with this verse in Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they might add, and this is important, sin to sin. That walk down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. See? This is not an indictment against using wisdom and getting help. He'll bless them that bless Israel. He said the issue wasn't just the going down to Egypt to fight with you. The issue is, you have not asked me. You just do all of this. Isn't that what the real issue was? You haven't asked it in my mouth. You just did it. And as long as you can do it and get by with it, you don't need me or acknowledge me. You didn't ask it in my mouth. You know, if they had asked him, he might have said yeah, or he might have said no. But you've got to ask him to get his will. You can't work independently from him, make a royal mess of it, end up in defeat, and then say, oh, God, we're claiming your word. That's baloney. Anybody teaching you that you can just use your faith or send your seed in to get all of these blessings and not deal with your heart and your relationship with Jesus Christ and with God? How phony is that? There's an implication out there. All you need to do is write a check. Anything you need, just write the check. Amen? Write a check for your healing. I resent that deep down in my bones. You know why? Because that's selling what Jesus bought with his blood on that cross. Putting a price on it. You were not redeemed by anything you can put a price on. Can you say amen? Come on, God is saying silver and gold is not what got you redeemed. It's not what is going to get you healed. If you want the supernatural, you can't buy it with your money. You can get a blessing. There's a law, amen, of sowing bountifully, reaping bountifully. But the healing, the salvation, these supernatural events is something paid for with his broken body and his shed blood on the cross. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. But with the precious blood, we need to get the blood back where it belongs, in the prominent, precious place in the church. Amen. And not market what he paid for. Amen. And why does God tolerate it? So he can separate the sheep from the goats. Amen. Find out where people's hearts really are. Amen. And judgment is already in the church. A large part of Pentecostalism has chosen that. They support it and pour millions into it. Fulfilling the scripture, they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. I will write checks all day long. What do they want to hear? That they can be as rich as that guy, as rich as that gal, or as rich as Hollywood. The problem is, there's no evidence of the supernatural God. Amen. Out of all these teachings on faith, all you can see is buildings, automobiles, that silver and gold can purchase if people keep writing the checks. What can you attribute to God? Somebody said, well, look at this building. You ought to see where some of the drug lords in Miami are living. You can't attribute that to God. Amen. What a day. And America's in trouble. We need a revival. Let me show you how God is going to do this. We got to hurry and close, but listen to me carefully. If I were you, I would get in the Word, and I would get the Word in me. If I were you, I would get back to God as my source. Can you say, man, if I were you, I can't tell you what to do because if you don't just obey God, it's not going to work anyway. But if I were you, I'd get God back as my source. I would put God first in my life. I would make the Word of God a top priority. Can you say, man? It wouldn't be something that I do when I feel like it. It'd be something that I make a commitment. I'm going to get under that Word. I'm going to get that Word on the inside of me. Because he sends his Word to heal us and to deliver us from our destructions. Can you say, man? If I were you, I would make a deep commitment. When I have the opportunity to get under the Word of God, I used to pull my car over beside the road in the parking lot. When I heard something that was touching my soul, I thought, if I don't have to be there for 15 more minutes, I'm going to spend 10 of it in this parking lot getting the Word of God in me. Amen. I'm not going to spend it listening to some channel that don't edify me because I'm in a battle. This war is real. Amen. I want to fight the good fight of faith, and I want to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And if I don't get that Word in me, I can't take anything. Let's pick this up with verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. You know, you can run to another church, but you can't run from God. We'll get away from the enemy. They won't catch us. God said, I'm going to make their horses fast as your horses. You are going to fail. You are not going to win without me as your source. But he went on to tell him, when you do fail, and I'll be brief with this part. When you do fail and you humble and you're broken and you come back to me, I'm ready to restore you and restore the blessing on you and your children and your land. What a good God. Can you say amen? What a good God. Now here's where we pray for America as we close, not just our personal needs, but for our nation. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Remember he said you add sin to sin when you go down to Egypt and you don't ask me? Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 11. It said, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. Everybody say sin to sin. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. Has a nation changed her gods? I believe it's reflected in modern day postmodern world religion. Silver and gold, even over resurrection weekend. Catholics highly look at that week as Holy Week. Amen. Sanctify it, set it apart. Protestant preachers, Pentecostal preachers on television couldn't stop talking about money to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. With all this faith teaching and preaching, they couldn't say, just this week, we're setting apart for Jesus. Not for fundraising, for 1 week, 1 week, 1 week out of 52 to honor that that would make or break the faith. Jesus be not raised from the dead. Our faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. What he did on the cross means nothing. Can you say, man, we're yet in our sins and those that are dead are lost and doomed? Something this crucial and this critical ought to be on the top shelf. You know what I heard preached and what I got in the mail? I don't get them because they give up on me. But I get them in behalf of my dead father-in-law. And the guy is saying, as Jesus sowed himself as a seed, and all of that harvest came when he was resurrected, you got to write your best check as a seed. And I thought, no, not now. Please, stop it. Not now. There are those of you in this room that need to get back to God as your source. One of these days you're going to need him and nothing else is going to come through. And you need to get in touch with him now. Not then. Can you say amen? How many people in this room say, Pastor, I want to make God my source and not Egypt. If he uses people to help me, that's all right. I can accept that. But I want him to use people to help me. I don't want to look to those people. And then when it all fails, try to get some kind of propped up faith in him. Amen. You can't run from trouble, but you can run to God and make him the source of your life. And God will come through. God will honor your faith. Call upon me. And call upon me. Psalm 50:15. After they've worshipped him from the heart, become a thankful people full of gratitude, willing to serve no God but Jehovah. He said, and then call on me in the time of trouble. And I'll do what? I'll deliver you. And who will get the glory when God comes through for you? And you will glorify me. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet and let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number four on there, if you will. Amen. We're going to worship. We're going to terminate this service tonight. I am committed to seeing, amen, the Lord return to his people as we return to our God. How are you going to know if God is back? Your prayers are going to be answered. The name of the Lord is going to be glorified through our personal lives. Can you say amen? We're going to see victories. Hallelujah, like we've never seen victories. And His great name is going to be exalted. Can you say amen? Did you tell them about Colin Powell a little bit? Amen. Yeah, just a little bit. Well, there's a lady going to speak in this big get motivated thing, which I'm not too, you know, excited about getting motivated. The Word of God motivates me, so I don't need that guy to motivate me. But you know, this is motivational speakers. It's for business. But here's the thing. They've hooked up with Christian organizations because underlying this, God is doing things. Amen. And there's a lady that's going to speak, and she came from that should have destroyed her life and became highly successful. And boy, it gets the eyes of the world. 20,000 people are going to go down there to hear these speakers speak to motivate them. And people like that lady that wrote a book. But see, the lady, they told us at the prayer, at the breakfast we attended as ministers, the lady is going to give this thing about where she was and where she is now. Amen. And oh, it's motivational and inspirational. But right in the middle of it, she said she's going to tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. And what the difference that it made when Jesus Christ come in her life. And they wanted us pastors to be involved because people are going to come to the Lord. Oh, thank you for the amens. I know it don't mean a lot to you. You've got a busy week. That's no big deal. People are going to come to the Lord. They're coming to the Lord after some of these meetings because somebody is not taking the credit. Somebody's giving God the credit for their help in their life. And they've been, there's a man under deep conviction that's been, I don't know if he's totally surrendered yet, but they've been praying with him, and he's been letting them pray and acquiescing to the prayer and the need in his life, and that's Rudy Giuliani. Amen. Hallelujah. That they said he's moving toward Jesus, and people are witnessing to him. These speakers are witnessing to him and telling him what Christ can do. Amen. I don't know about you, but I get excited about people coming to know Jesus as their Savior. I don't care what the titles are, how many books they've written, how famous they are. What they need is Jesus, and when they acknowledge that need, God can do wonderful things for them and through them. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give Him praise tonight before we leave here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to teach the Word of God. I want to challenge and I want to be challenged. I want to see God's people under His blessing. I want to see victory in homes and marriages. I want to see the Lord moving by His Spirit. The strength of our marriage is Pamela's commitment to Jesus Christ. And it's my commitment to Jesus Christ. And if both of us stay committed to Jesus, there is no way hell, Satan's minions, are ever going to be able to break this. But if she breaks her covenant with God, there's no way I can hold her in my heart if God can't hold her in His. Can you say, man, how many understand He will not force her will? And if I break covenant with God, there's no way that Pamela can hold me in her heart if God can't hold me in His. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we need today is men and women, moms and daddies and children to say, Jesus, You're our sovereign, You're our King. We bow to no other. Hallelujah. We won't break covenant with You and we won't break covenant with one another. We'll learn how to keep commitments for maybe the first time in our walk with God to really keep commitments. And when we start keeping commitments, maybe the Lord can entrust us. Stewards over more than money, but stewards over souls that need to see Christians who are following close to Jesus Christ. Families that represent what God can do. Can you say amen? Let's just give Him praise tonight. I'm not going down into Egypt. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots.
But we are a covenant people. We have a God, and He's our Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. 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 Horses can fall, stumble. Arrows from a good archer can take a horse down. Oh, they didn't fight clean and fair. The archers made horses their targets, and horses fell, and men went flying, dashing upon the ground. They speared horses and brought the horse down, and then they killed the rider. Hallelujah. We need God to come through in the emergency room. We need God to come through at the hospital. We need God to come through in our marriages. God to come through in our homes. God to come through and touch our children and save them. Hallelujah. We need His deliverance. We need His power. We need His presence. We need His word in our hearts. We need His kingdom burst in our lives. Give Him praise tonight before we leave. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The mention of His name.